The opinions voiced in this program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, or financial advisor prior to investing. Securities and investment advisory services are offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC.
Do you need to know what to do in these tough times? We're going to talk about where you might get some of that wisdom. The Peter McClellan Show starts now.
Live from the Twin Cities, it's the Peter McClellan Show. Peter McClellan, CHFC, is the president of the 401k Latte Company. Peter has helped his financial planning clients for more than 20 years with advice about their money, their families, and their life goals. Find out more online at 401klatte.com. Invest in a conversation now. Here's Peter McClellan.
And welcome to the Peter McClellan Show. I am your host, Peter McClellan. Thank you for listening. You know, it's a big question I asked, and today especially, it is hard times. We are living in some of the most challenging times I believe any of us have lived through. Maybe some of the older folks listening may have lived through the Depression or were kids during the Great Depression. I'm not equating this to the Depression, but the stress and strain that is in so many people's lives is so apparent, and it's a result of a lot of economic upheaval. So anyway, we know that, nothing new there, but I was intrigued. Sally, my wife, is the producer for the show, and she came across this book that somebody recommended to her called How to Run Your Business by the Book, A Biblical Blueprint to Bless Your Business. And I was intrigued immediately. I thought, wow, that's a great title. And more importantly than that, what I've gleaned from my reading of the Bible is common sense. And I believe right now common sense is what is missing all across the board in our culture. You know, from you name it, in the schools, in the businesses, all over in the neighborhoods, common sense is missing. It's really at a premium. So today we have with us, we are privileged to have with us Dave Anderson, who is the author of that book. Dave, welcome to the Peter McClellan Show.
Thank you, Peter. It's great to be with you.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. So tell me, Dave, what prompted you to put a book like this together? You know, the whole idea of a blueprint to bless your business.
You know, it was just a series of steps that evolved over time. I started in business as a car salesman, and I had already always read the Bible to become, you know, a better person. And as I'm reading Proverbs, which used to be one of my daily habits, there's one a day, there's 31 Proverbs, so I'd read one a day, and I'd get through it in a month, and then I'd read it again. And I started noticing, you know what, a lot of this would apply to my job. A lot of this would apply to business. Like, you know, in a multitude of words, sin is not lacking. And I'm thinking, well, I'm probably talking too much. And the more I talk, the more likely I am, you know, to exaggerate. And so maybe I need to be a little more, discerning as to what I say. And then I read something like evil company corrupts good habits. And I'm thinking, whoa, you know what? That's right. I'm hanging around the wrong people at work. Mm. They're distracting me. They're bringing me down. So I start really reading the Bible through this lens and going beyond Proverbs and start applying the principles. And I started doing really well in sales, got promoted up into management. Most recently, I was running a $300 million automotive group out of Northern California, and based on biblical principles, I left that group after it was sold to a public company about 11 years ago and started Learn to Lead, which is a sales and leadership training organization, and now I take these principles and I apply them in seminars and workshops. And along the way, Peter, I started volunteering to teach a biblically-based leadership course overseas as a volunteer to Russian and Iranian pastors, and that was the one that really put me over the edge, because as I'm teaching those principles for how they can grow their organizations, I'm thinking, okay, it's time to put this into a book and talk about how to take these principles and elevate our businesses as well. So it was an evolution.
Well, it's a great journey. I mean, so there was no one thing that happened that was sort of the catalyst. It was sort of a series of events. And you're,
it was.
Yeah, that's great. So tell me, who would benefit from reading this book?
Well, you know, obviously anyone who has a business or even a nonprofit organization that runs an organization, or if you're working, you know, in a business and you want to become more successful, this isn't just for the owners. I mean, we talk a lot in the book about things like balancing your life and managing your money and you know getting the goals that you want for yourself. And so just really anyone who's looking to break away from any rut or mediocrity or that maybe the downturn has put them in and get their life and their business back on a solid common sense foundation for success.
Well, I love the idea of the of having the common sense. That's what I see in the Bible. It seems to temper the things that we're so easily ensnared by.
Well, it does, and what's interesting is a lot of people know what's in there. They just don't do it. It's not a knowing issue. It's a doing issue, and, we get caught up in fads and the latest gurus and the latest trends when you see about how well all that worked out over the last couple of years.
Oh,
so I think people are open to getting back and really looking at some timeless principles that make sense and that if, they're eternal and they're proven, and let me give these a try. I've known about them, now let me actually apply them.
Well, let me ask you this, because there are, I think, this is just off the cuff, my experience living among Christian people. I think at times, even among Christians, there is a tendency to think that setting of goals and, having a vision for your future and believing God for the blessing on your business, so to speak, is what they would call name it and claim it, let's say.
Right. And
I'm wondering, what would you say to someone who's kind of looking at this saying, I'd kind of like to read that book, but I don't want to, in some way, fall into that mindset, let's say.
The book presents biblical principles that make no mistake about the fact that, you're going to have to work for it. You're going to have to do your share.
Hard work,
honest work.
Right there, you're losing about 50% of the population.
Well, if they got to break a sweat to make it, they're going to go someplace else.
There you go.
But, the name it and claim it thing is so dangerous because it takes out the element that, you need character and you need discipline and you need to follow through. And you've got to do your part, and God's going to do his part. And so the book isn't filled with any type of magical potions or formulas, name it and claim it, fancy phrases. It's anybody that really accomplished a lot in the Bible. If you look at the heroes of the Bible, the people who really did a lot, it was a process. And it was a combination of their work and their character and their discipline, as well as God's blessings. And there's no getting around that.
No, I would see that. And as a financial advisor, that's my day job. The radio thing is a thing that I come in and do at 5 o'clock for an hour and have a blast doing it. I'm really enjoying it. But
right. The
what I see on a day to day basis, and playing it back to the getting it back to the basics. I honestly believe our culture is sick because we've strayed from the biblical principle of avoiding debt and not going into debt and seeing what the Bible says about, if you are borrowing, you're going to become servant or slave, it'll say in other versions of the Bible, to the lender. And it troubles me that on a big, big scale that our government is going so headlong into debt as if more debt is the answer or the solution to any of the problems. And I don't feel comfortable being indebted to the... I'm not trusting my government. I certainly don't trust the Chinese government. I'm not knocking the Chinese saying that. I just don't like their government. I don't like my government at the moment, but I don't like what they're doing. Democrats, Republicans on all sides, I'm troubled by the debt that I see. And that is, like you're saying, a biblical principle. It's common sense.
I'm so with you on that. In fact, I have a chapter in How to Run Your Business by the book on finances, and I give 16 reasons in there why debt is a bad idea according to the Bible. And while the Bible never calls it a sin, it's a curse. And, people say, well, I've been successful despite my debt, but that's not the way to look at it. The way to look at it is, okay, in your own wisdom, in your own way, this is what you've got. What could you have had if you would have followed God's word? Don't pat yourself on the back because of what you have. You really have to measure it against what you could have had, what might have been, had you followed the right principles.
Well, I'm especially focused on this because I think in these days with so many layoffs, so many people reinventing themselves out of necessity, there's a temptation, and I've seen it time and time again, where there's a willingness to so-called, bet the farm, so to speak, the proverbial thing where they take the equity out of the house or any equity they have, borrow on the 401k, and invest in the business. And I just think that is such a scary way. I like what the Bible says. There's a, and I don't remember where the verse is, but to not despise the day of small beginnings. I'd rather somebody start smaller and do it with cash in hand.
Yes.
Than, and find a way to make that happen rather than putting their neck in a noose. And,
well, you know,
and,
Peter, you just nailed it. And I think that what this is part of the instant gratification society that we live in. You know, I want it now. I want it fast. I don't want to have to wait. I don't want a small beginning. I want to make a big splash. And because of the failure of discipline and character and process, people do put the noose around their neck.
Yeah, yeah, they do, and they bet so much. And if that, if everything doesn't go just perfectly, all is lost. And it's
you know,
financially, the setback is much more damaging than I think it has to be.
They leave themselves no margin for error. I've
right.
seen so many business people that are so highly leveraged over these last couple of years. Mm-hmm. They're one bad month or two bad decisions away from insolvency. And a lot of them, Peter, they blame the downturn for their demise, but the downturn didn't ruin them. It exposed them.
Right.
They were in bad shape before. They were on a shaky foundation, but because they had some accumulated momentum, it wasn't as easy to spot. But a downturn always exposes the sins of the good times, and it exposed these people more than it did do them in.
Well, I tend to agree with you because, you know, I mean, there's, as I see it, so much from the Bible in terms of, just talking about Proverbs. There's another proverb, I can't remember where it is, but I do the same thing you're talking about, reading a chapter a day. There's 31 chapters, you get it done in a month.
Right.
And where is it that says that in the storehouse of the righteous, there's treasures? Meaning
That's right. There's,
you're going to have a, meaning there's going to be reserve if you haven't spent everything that you've made. The Bible speaks to that, just being wise in what you're doing with what you have coming in and treating it wisely. And I just, you know, I think for people who are contemplating going into business, I just think your book, I mean, I only had a chance to peruse it, but foundationally speaking, what solid ground you could be on. Again, if you're at all thinking about going in business for yourself, I'd highly recommend this book because even though I only had a chance to peruse it, it makes so much sense to do it God's way. I think he has a little more wisdom than the average bear. You know, a little bit more.
Lot of warnings in there about trusting in our own wisdom, isn't there?
Yeah, there is.
And
there
I've
is.
Heard so many people say, well, no, I'm going to show faith. If I go into debt, it shows faith. No, that's presumption. And there's a big difference between faith and presumption.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's foolish. It's just foolish. So, you know, it's one of those things that troubles me. But nevertheless, I didn't mean to camp on it, make it all about financial. But you are talking business. The financial part is a very big, real part to people today.
You bet.
And I think people are very tempted right now to maybe make some decisions that are not necessarily in their best interest long term. And I just want to encourage you, take some time.
Take some time. Don't use our government as your role model, please.
Oh, boy. No, that's not a good idea. And, you know, we're bumping up against the break. Dave, how can people get a hold of this book?
They can get it in any bookstore. They can get it at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or at our website, which is LearnToLead.com.
Wonderful. Again, the book, How to Run Your Business by the Book, A Biblical Blueprint to Bless Your Business. And that's Dave Anderson. When we come back, we'll be speaking to Angus, unfortunately. Watch it, Peter. And we're also going to talk with Dave some more about this book. So you'll want to stay tuned and get the wisdom we need to grow our business in a sound way. Grow your life in a sound way. It's good stuff. Stay tuned.
To the Peter McClellan Show on Business 1570.
And now it's time for another nagging Scottish moment. Take it away, Peter, you nag. Well, today I have to nag on this because I just see it all around me and it's... Well, here it is. The borrower is slave to the lender. That's Proverbs 22:7, in fact. It speaks to the wisdom of staying out of debt. Peter, hold on a minute. This is not a Christian station. Quoting scripture? Do you think you can take it that far? After all, this is Business 1570, not the Christian station. Angus, the whole point of the Business by the Book is to benefit from the wisdom found in the Bible and to conduct our businesses in a way that's right and good and fair and profitable. You know, I am personally very animated, disturbed of late, these past few days, by the news, especially from the Inspector General from the TARP program announced yesterday. And this, why this is not front page news is amazing to me. He claimed yesterday, and he's the guy that's you know, watching this, kind of the watchdog, so to speak. He claims that the bailout of the financial institutions has created a risk that the United States could face a far worse fiscal meltdown. We're going deeper and deeper into debt. Debt is not good. It is not the answer. It will only put us in a very bad place. The politicians, both Republican and Democrats, they don't get it, apparently. We have to cut government and cut it down quickly, or we're going to see devastation like we've never seen. This isn't, you know, exactly the focal point of our discussion today, but it is a biblical warning that we all should heed. If you are in debt, get out of it. Our government is slipping deeper and deeper. If you have any opportunity to speak to people in government, influence them towards common sense. The answer is not more debt unless we want to become slaves to the Chinese government, you know, the holders of the debt. Peter, do you have to be that dramatic? Things have a way of working out, lad. You know, don't get your kilt in a knot. Well, yeah, things do have a way of working out. You're right. But the fact that the stock market rose today, after this release from yesterday, this should have been a headline that would have spooked the market. You know, bank bailouts created more risk in the system. Instead, the Dow's up 118 points and the band played on. There are no fundamentals in play here. The economy is sick. The government's only making it worse by borrowing like it's going out of style. Well, Peter, there's only so much you can do. Well, Angus, I'm going to continue to encourage people to follow biblical principles of avoiding debt, living in balance, being generous. But today I'm hammering on the debt because it is a sickness. And if you'd like to talk to us at the 401k Latte Company about playing strong defense in your portfolio with a country gone wild, we'd be honored to do that. Really, we would. Be honored to get acquainted with you. If we can help you to navigate through some of these crazy waters, we'd be honored to do that. Give us a call at 952-882-0400. That's 952-882-0400. And in fact, there's still, well, I shouldn't say that. the seminar this Friday is kind of full, but I'll say it anyway. And if Debbie gets mad at me at the office, then she does. But give us a call, and there's a seminar we're having on Friday with the money managers that are focused on aggressive defense. And I think that's what we need right now. We are in a secular bear market. Look at the past 10 years. The market's gone nowhere. Do you think with the economy as sick as it is right now, as troubled, this many people unemployed, that we're going straight back up and it's going to resume at the level it was at? It can't, because where it was at was a mirage anyway. And that's so evident to me with people. Anyway, I could ramble on here and I won't. We are speaking today, and I know we're almost up against another break. We're speaking with Dave Anderson, author of the book, How to Run Your Business by the Book, a biblical blueprint to bless your business. And so whether you are just starting or contemplating business, whether you've been in business for 30 or 40 years, and you've encountered the worst economic downturn in your history, this book is filled with wisdom on how to conduct yourself, how to lead, even as an employee, as somebody who's not necessarily the owner. Just great principles. So, Dave, what would you say to that? We've got about a minute to go before the next break. What would you add to that?
You know, there's chapters in there about building a rock-solid character, developing your people skills, how to build a team, and if you're not in a leadership position, how to start assuming those traits, you know, before you're in that position. So, as you say, Peter, there's strategies there that would help anyone in any position.
Well, you talk about things like building a strong character, developing that character, and that's something I believe anybody that has a heart for wisdom, that is willing to grow in character, can develop that.
And how many times have we seen like a character absolutely nullify somebody's talent?
Absolutely.
They have all the talent in the world and their character gets in the way. So it is the essential building block for long-term success.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you got to have that, because without it, it all falls apart. That is so true. Well, again, the book is How to Run Your Business by the Book, a biblical blueprint to bless your business. Dave, I'm hoping you'll write one for the government and how to run your government by the book.
They'd have to go into debt to buy it, probably, and that would only make the problem worse.
All right. We're back after the break. Stay tuned.
Peter McClellan Show, afternoons at 5 on Business 1570.
And welcome back to the Peter McClellan Show. If you are just joining us, we are privileged today to speak to Dave Anderson, who is the author of How to Run Your Business by the Book, A Biblical Blueprint to Bless Your Business. And I, you know, as I'm looking at these things, I'd have to think, you know, these are stressful times for a lot of people. And really, some of the things that he talks about in here, the bulk of it, this book could have really been maybe how to run your life by the book, A Biblical Blueprint to Bless Your Life. And Dave, would you agree with that?
Oh, I think so. I don't think you can separate the two. Some of the these leadership principles are so transferable, you know, to your family, to your community involvement, to your friends, to your business. Leadership is leadership. So absolutely, I agree with that statement.
Well, I see it. And as we were talking at the break, why don't you share some of that? Just, you know, what you are seeing and what we all are seeing, witnessing, it does tend to go in bunches. What the unwinding of people's lives, the undoing, is so often character issues, and it's self-destructive. I mean, it isn't like somebody came along and throttled some of these people, but you go ahead. Why don't you share some of that?
You know, it's interesting when times get tough, you really see what somebody's made out of. A lot of people can maintain their character when the wind's at their back and the sun is shining and everything is going well, but you know, you start to get squeezed a little bit, and whatever's in there comes out. I mean, you squeeze an orange juice comes out. You squeeze a person, and whatever's in there is going to come out. And this downturn, you know, has caused a lot of people to compromise their principles, to lower their own personal bar of integrity, and they're justifying it. You know, they're lying, they're misleading. I see it in advertising. I see the way people are misleading their employees. I see the way that they're misleading partners and so forth. And character starts to get diminished in a downturn. And I talk in the book about the danger of telling white lies, of not keeping commitments. I talk about the danger of giving false impressions. And I actually go over like four or five key character steps that are often overlooked, Peter, because a lot of people think character is just lying and cheating and stealing, but it's those little things too, you know.
Mm.
It's not doing what you said you do, when you said you do it, or how you said you do it, and you don't keep your commitment, you know, and you break trust. Or it's white lies. I see this in the workplace, and you know, you have a set of values that says integrity on the wall, and then your receptionist says, so-and-so's on the phone, and you say, well, tell him I'm not here.
Right.
And, you know, you just lied.
True.
And people try to spin it and say, well, it's a white lie. But, you know, really, it's a lie. That's the bottom line. In the Bible, it talks about how David told a white lie, and 85 priests were killed as a result of that. I use that example that you can't overlook those little things. I was at a conference on Saturday speaking to 150 leaders in Los Angeles, and somebody said, well, what do I do if my boss tells me to lie? You know, if they tell me to tell them that they're not here, I said, with all due respect, just say, yes, sir, but that's not true. What would you have me tell them instead? and you'll just
and
paralyze
you can him. Say just something. If you're busy with something, say, you know, he's tied up in something at the moment.
Right.
He'll go back to you. You don't have to take it to, I'm not here.
No.
Do that?
And it's a little thing, but what you start doing is rationalizing the next little thing.
Yeah.
And the next little thing. You know, not to pick on anybody, but this person in the news lately that's had affairs with 13 or 14 documented people, they didn't start with 14, started with one.
Right.
And then it was easy to justify, and then it was another and another and another, and you just start to leave these openings. And then if we're going to diminish lies, let's go ahead and diminish theft too. What would be the white lie version of theft? Maybe just taking a few pens and paper clips home from the office, you know, or using the copier to make a copy of something for ourselves, or what would be the white lie version of adultery? You know, just leering 2 seconds too long, or a hug that's 5 degrees too tight. I mean, what would it be? It's ridiculous. You have to watch for these little clinks in your character armor, because they start to lead to some gaping holes.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I add a little levity to this. I was on a short-term mission trip to Venezuela, and one day I was driving around. Actually, we were in Caracas with the pastor, and he's driving. and a beautiful woman walked in front of us that was not dressed very... she was dressed very provocatively. And so he turns to me and he says, you know, it's not our fault that she walked in front of me. And I stopped and I thought a minute and I said, I told him, I said, well, for that reason, you have to make the first look. Oh, because he said to me, he said, the second look, he said, is sin. I said, okay, for that reason, you got to make the first look count. So I was just joking.
Right.
He said, Peter, you're the black sheep. I said, I'm just joking.
But
it's a principle. I mean, he was, you know, just share with me about it. And it's true, though, but that's the culture we're in.
Well, it is, and it's like I've heard the old saying, you can't stop birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from making a nest in your hair.
That's right.
And you just have to remove yourself from those sort of situations, and it starts to affect your judgment. It clouds your judgment. It creates stress at home. It just, you know, we just got to get back to doing what's right, and not only when it's easy or cheap or popular or convenient, but doing it because it's right, doing it consistently, and doing it regardless of the cost. And this is part of running your business by the book, not just looking for the shortcut or the easy way. Shortcuts usually reflect a character flaw.
Yeah.
Usually people who are taking shortcuts are looking to pay, you know, to get a prize without paying a price. They're looking for something for nothing. And just getting back, whatever your position is, if you're the owner, if you're the greeter, you know, getting back to really doing what's right. And I really believe that that opens up more opportunities. Doing what's right draws the right people to you.
Yeah.
It draws opportunities to
yeah,
you.
And
it's special.
You know, I wholeheartedly agree. And, you know, the thought that I have about this, it's the little things. It is the little things. And so much of where I see it going wrong, not a big deal, but I had one of my sons had a friend over. This is a few years ago, younger at that point. But he's walking out of the house, and there was a pack of pencils, mechanical pencils, on. Oh, no, they were just regular pencils, I think. No, they were regular pencils, just sitting on the counter.
Right.
And he walked by, and he pulled a couple of them out, and he kept going. And I asked him, I said, wait a minute. You know, I'd be happy to give you a couple of pencils. Do you need some pencils? Yeah, I do. I said, you need to ask for them first. What you
sure.
did is just stole from us. That's crazy.
Mm.
And when I confronted his dad about it, his dad said, what's the big deal? It's a couple of pencils.
Oh, boy. See, there's the problem.
It is a problem, you know, because if you're going to take, where does it stop? Where does the rationalization end? It won't, is the problem. And it'll just get bigger and bigger. And, well, you know, you got to expect it today that's going to be that. You know, no. There is a right and a wrong. And I think that's what our society wrestles with. And I'm going to let part of the cat out of the bag here, but I love the title of your other books where you're talking about pulling no punches.
Right. I wrote a book called If You Don't Make Waves, You'll Drown, and it's about battling political correctness in society and in business. It was a fun book to write.
I bet it was, but I bet what you're confronting in there is we're seeing how, you know, people become, in a sense, slave to what's expected in the crowd, and there's certain norms now. And, you know, I know I was taking a risk by challenging the neighbor about the pencils, but
right.
he got mad at me instead, and I said, it's not a big deal, but it is a big deal.
But it is. You know,
yeah.
and you see it everywhere, this political correctness, and it waters down what's right. You know, it's like in schools today where they don't keep score with sports, and they give a trophy to everybody. I mean, come on. What are you teaching kids? That you get rewarded if you show up, not if you step up.
Yeah,
and you know, people
right.
need to realize there is right, there is wrong, there is success, there is failure, it's not all one big happy gray area. And so and this carries over into business is the problem, Peter, because
yeah.
then you have people coming into the workplace thinking, if he gets something, I should get it too. You know, they
oh,
start
that's
to get
the
this,
mindset, isn't there?
Yeah. Oh, it's entitlement. It's
yep.
this sense of entitlement because
yep.
we have no accountability in our culture, and thus it carries over, and we have no accountability in our business. Business trends always follow society trends, and
yeah.
as society becomes more politically correct and more entitled, that carries right over and diminishes our business culture.
Oh, that's an illness, and I just the other thing too that while you were speaking, I thought about the other reality is too when you do things that aren't right. And you don't do the right thing, there are going inevitably to be consequences.
That's
because
right.
you can't avoid it. You're going to reap what you've sown. If you've sown corn, you're not going to get alfalfa.
You know, I think one of the best phrases, one of the best lessons that comes out of the Bible, and it reinforces what you just said. If you choose a behavior, then you just chose the consequence for that behavior.
That's right.
So choose well. Now, if you choose right behaviors, then you've chose pleasant consequences that go along with those as well. You know, discipline and the right attitude and so forth. But don't act surprised when something bad happens. Sowing
right.
and reaping still works. Always has. Always will. Not overnight always, but over time it'll get you.
No, that's the part of it that I know my kids' teachers maybe think I'm a little bit out there, but I want there to be consequences if they've messed up, if they've crossed the line, done something they shouldn't have done. I think it's good that they feel. I don't mean lop their arm off. But, you know, but to bring about consequence, to bring about some degree of having to endure something that's unpleasant as a result of a stupid decision.
Well, there you go. And if you want to change a behavior, you got to change the consequence for that behavior. And if you don't, then you're going to see more and more of the same behavior. Now it's not a behavior, Peter. Now it's a habit.
Yeah.
Now it's no longer a habit. It's a lifestyle. And now that person is incorrigible and impossible to change.
Yeah. No, you're right.
That's usually the progression. And it's not pretty.
No,
you know,
it's
then
not.
We have to deal with that with employees. We have to deal with that with coworkers. We have to deal with that with our bosses. I mean, it's just, and you say, well, how can I change all that? Well, you can change yourself. You know, maybe you can't change the things around you so much, but you can start by changing yourself. You change, and other things start to change for you.
Well, that's truth. And if you embrace truth about what is right and what is wrong, you'll change.
That's right.
That's right. And I wholeheartedly believe that. And you know, coming back to this issue of character, what you did mention in the book, there were five.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I put in there that nobody ever really considers as a character trait
mm-hmm.
is going the second mile. You know, and I love this because in the Bible, you know, it says that if you only do what's required, you're an unfaithful servant. And so, you know, just doing what is required is somewhat of a given. So I'm saying if you want to really develop a strong character, then you have to become an and then some person. You know, do what's required and then some. Keep your promises and then some. And really, Peter, it helps you stand out because most people are limping through the first mile today. You know, like Zig Ziglar said, if you go to the second mile, there's no traffic jam there. There's no competition, and then you know, you'll be all alone when you're there because most people don't go to the trouble to get there. And that's one of the most encouraging things I can tell people in business is that there's plenty of room at the top.
Yeah.
It's not crowded at the top. It's crowded at the bottom because most people won't do what's necessary to get to the top. So, you know, develop this second mile mindset to where you're doing more than is required. And don't worry about who's noticing or who's keeping score. You know, the book says God's noticing. He'll keep score, and you'll get put in the right place. Just do what's right.
I've heard this. Dan Sullivan, a coach of sorts, has said, you know, if you just do what you say you're going to do, finish what you start, always say please and thank you, and then just show up on time. Or if you're going to be late, call the people ahead and say, look, I ran into some traffic, I'm running late.
Right.
Show courtesy. But just some of those basic things. And that's
what?
It's missing in our culture today.
You're right. And those basic things used to be a given, but now they're not. And so when you do them, you do stand out, and they just do set you apart. And it's not hard to distinguish yourself today. You look at most businesses, customer service is lousy. So if you
True.
Do just a little bit better, wow, you can wow people. So there's all this opportunity, but people get caught up in following the herd and doing what everybody else is doing. And when you follow the herd, you step in what it leaves behind. You got to get out front of the herd and leave some footprints. You know,
you step what the herd leaves behind. That's
there
true.
You do. It's a mess.
It's a mess. I agree. Oh, I wholeheartedly agree. I just was thinking about what you said while you're saying that. I thought of it the other day. I called a company, and I got a woman on the phone who was following up on a certain account, and she knew just about everything that I was asking her. So many of her competitors would be sending me to this department, or I wouldn't be able to help you with that. You'll have to, you know, send you all over the place, and where you're leaving messages and hope to get a call back. It's refreshing when you encounter somebody who really knows their job and knows it well.
And look what you're doing.
Excellence.
You're talking about it. It stood out so much that it's, you know, it's worth bringing up on this radio show.
Oh, absolutely.
It just reinforces what we're talking about. When you have character and competence and consistency in those areas, you know, there's not much competition for you.
Oh, that's great.
And this isn't rocket science.
No.
It's basic, as we started about saying, common sense.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And, again, the book is How to Run Your Business by the Book. A biblical blueprint to bless your business. I'd encourage you to pick up a copy of it. Dave Anderson's the author. When we come back, we're going to talk a little further with Dave about the book, but also about some of the other things he's written that are just wonderful and poignant and needed. And we all need wisdom. We all need to put our minds on things that are good, especially today. So stay tuned. We're going to come back and talk more about it.
Peter McClellan Show, afternoons at 5 on Business 1570.
And welcome back to the Peter McClellan Show. We have with us Dave Anderson, who is in sunny Southern California, so he's probably chuckling as he hears us getting up to a whopping 30 degrees by the end of the week.
So, yeah, so sometimes it is good to be out here, Peter.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, no, it's it absolutely has to be. Though I imagine you're challenged at times because California is, you know, I have a theory that most of the fruits and nuts roll to the coasts, and I'm originally from the coast, so I, you know, the East Coast anyway.
Right.
So I shouldn't make too much fun, but
oh, but no, that's a very fairly accurate statement. I don't have a lot of friends out here. After I wrote a book called "If You Don't Make Waves, You'll Drown," which attacked political correctness, and we stopped getting invited to dinner parties and such. So fortunately, my wife and I have a good relationship where we're very content to be alone.
Well, that's good. But if you ever make your way to Minneapolis, you give us a call, and we'll take you out to dinner. I'd be honored.
I appreciate it. I'll take you up on it.
Anyway, but that book, we need to do a show on that book because the political correctness is, I think, zapping us of our integrity, zapping us of the fiber we need to think straight, you know, and be able to act and think in accordance with what's right. And it's just,
it's getting worse. We're just so worried about not offending somebody that we do what's easy, we don't do what's right. I had someone in one of my seminars come up and tell me that in their schools now, the teachers aren't even allowed to use red ink because it might hurt the kid's psyche.
Oh, my gosh.
They have to use softer tones like lavenders and greens. And I thought, you know, when I got a lot of red ink on my paper, that got my attention. I needed that swift kick in the behind, you know. And what a shame to do away with that. But that's, you know, that would be a great topic sometime.
Oh, absolutely. It really would, because it's needed. It is. But, Dave, when we were at the break, you were telling me about the fact that you put your money where your mouth is. You've created some videos pertaining to the book that are available at no cost. People can go to learntolead.com.
Yes.
And they have to log on or, you know.
You know, what we've done is Learn to Lead is a really helpful resource for people. You know, I've written 10 books, and I've given about 1,000 leadership presentations in 13 countries over the last 10 years. And one thing I've always wanted to do is, after I'm gone, have a place where people can go and get resources to follow through. And people who have never heard me or met me, they can also go there and kind of get some help as well. So what you'll find there is about 400 different articles, short, direct to the point, on sales, management, leadership, how to improve your life. There's a whole archive there. They're free. You register. It takes 2 minutes, and you have access to the whole archive. So you can print them off, use them in meetings, and so forth.
Wonderful.
There's also a YouTube channel at learntolead.com. There's a link you can click on, and it takes you to our YouTube channel. And I have right now posted about 20 different video clips, 5 to 7, 8 minutes each, where I teach lessons from how to run your business by the book.
Nice.
And it's just kind of condensing some of the key principles. So you can go there, pick a topic, and watch it. And we still have probably 10 more to add to complete the book, but there are a good 20 there, no cost, to get you started. And you can just best link there right through our website at learntolead.com.
Wow. So not only, I'd encourage you to read the book, but what a great idea for a Monday morning business meeting. You know,
oh, there you go. And a lot of
YouTube.
People use them for that. You bet.
Well, we are out of time, but Dave, it has been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show today. We are going to have you back to talk about the political correct book, the pull no punches, and if you don't make waves, you'll drown. I love it.
I'd love to do that. It's been a real pleasure to be with you, and keep up the good work, Peter.
Well, thank you, Dave. You take care. Again, you were listening to the Peter McClellan Show, and what would Angus say about all these good things that we're thinking about? Well, Peter, I'd say think on. Well, that's what I'm going to do. Think on and go to Dave's website. Great website, learntolead.com. So think on that, too.
Bonjour!
You've been listening to the Peter McClellan Show. Peter McClellan, CHFC, is the president of the 401k Latte Company. To reach Peter, call 952-882-0400 or on the web at 401klatte.com. This program is sponsored by the 401k Latte Company. Securities and investment advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC, and a registered investment advisor. For more information, go to www.401klatte.com or call 952-882-0400.